Good morning, brothers and sisters. I am privileged this morning to be given the opportunity to bring the message from God. I am privileged because I am a messenger for the creator of heaven and earth and the giver of life, our Heavenly Father, Almighty God. This morning, it is of paramount importance that we focus on the message and not on the messenger, because the messenger is merely a vessel used by God to convey his message. Let's pray with me for a brief moment. Lord, guide me this morning. We seek a message of comfort from you. Be with me as I present your message. Amen. I'd like to refer us back to the scripture reading taken from Matthew 17, verses 14 to 20. And when they were come to the multitude, there came a certain man kneeling down and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth in the fire and into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto the mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Isn't that an awesome statement? Nothing shall be impossible to you. Today, I'd like to zero in on the concept that if we have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, we should be able to say to any mountain in our life, move. And I'm not talking about just merely move. We've got to rebuke it, tell it to move, and it shall be removed. And nothing shall be impossible unto us. In the words of the song by Dinah Ross, ain't no mountain high enough. We can speak with confidence. The title of my presentation this morning is, I am confident because. I will be looking at three experiences in my life that demonstrated how the faith of God can move mountains. Number one, the formation of the church in which I got baptized in London. Number two, my experiences in applying for funding to attend a university and subsequently applying for a job. And three, my experience in gaining a lecturing job. Geez, how often do needs around us go unmet because we neglect radical trust in God, especially on behalf of others' needs? I repeat, how often do needs around us go unmet because we neglect radical trust in God, especially on behalf of others? My brothers and sisters, I will now share with you the formation of the church that I got baptized in. In the 60s, the 1960s, when Caribbean immigrants migrated to the United Kingdom, amongst them were a considerable amount of Seventh-day Adventists. These people faced challenges worshiping in the churches of the indigenous people. They were used to a church that was vibrant, a church that was a central part of their lives. Church was not a place where they merely went on Sabbath and did not see each other until the next Sabbath. Church was a central plank of their lives. And when they arrived in the UK, this was not the case. They found some discomfort with the way in which the indigenous people worshipped. They found some discomfort with the fact that if they were in a church service and they said amen, everybody would look around at them as though there was something wrong with them. They found this difficult to deal with. They felt that they could not continue like this. They needed to establish churches within the Adventist umbrella where they can express themselves and be themselves, things that they were used to. And from a sociological viewpoint, this was central to the development of their existence in England, because they are used to an environment where they were more vibrant, and in this environment where they could not express themselves, it could lead to mental challenges. I tell you, living in the United Kingdom, particularly if you are used to a vibrant environment in the Caribbean, you can meet and talk with just about anyone. It is challenging being in an environment where you have to be somebody else, and you've got to conceal your true self, and you cannot express yourself as you'd like to. You become lonely, and because you do not get the opportunity to speak and express yourself, it could lead to mental challenges. So, a group of Jamaicans, they decided that they were going to set up a church. And they had faith. I have discussed this with one of the founders of Will's then Seventh-day Adventist Church. And he said they started meeting in one of the members. Well, I cannot describe them as members because they had not formed the churches yet. But they started worship in the living room of one of members amongst the group. And as they worshipped Sabbath after Sabbath, they informed the conference of what they were doing. This is the South England Conference. And they continued worshiping, and other persons joined in. And as it progressed, they said, look, we are going to rent a facility because we are so big now. We cannot continue to meet in a front room. The front room is a living room. They call it the front room in the UK because, generally speaking, it's the first room you see when you enter the house. And they rented a church hall from a Church of God church in Harlesden, London. And this church hall was at the back of the main building. So just picture the scene. The Church of God had this huge building at the front and the church hall at the back. The church hall was used for probably socials, but it was not the main place of worship. And our people started worshiping there. And the numbers grew and grew, and they became a branch, as it were. But in the back of their minds at all times, they were thinking, we are going to set up a church. We are going to buy our own church. And as a teenager, when I came on the scene, I saw these people talking with such confidence that they were going to get their church. And persons were pledging each year that they were going to buy this church. I wasn't around in 1967. I came around as a youngster in the late 1970s. And I remember vividly, each year they'll talk about buying their own church. These were just ordinary folks. No folks with any big jobs earning vast sums of money. These were carpenters. These were bricklayers. I think we had a couple of nurses in our midst, but they were confident that they were going to establish their own churches. And it reached a point where there were times when we were worshiping in this church hall, and the owners, the members of the Baptist, the Church of God, would come in and hurry us up. We need the place. I look back and I remember one Sabbath afternoon we were having MV program. Now, that is something new for many of our young people who now know it as AYS. It was called MV, Missionary Volunteers. That's how far back I go. And we had our MV program there, and the members from the Church of God, they came in, and they stood up at the front of a meeting and said, "Look, hurry up, we need this hall, we need the hall. Brothers and sisters, could you imagine how you feel? You're God's people and been treated like this." And there were times when we could not worship there. They were using it for other purposes. And we had to hire the school hall. Our numbers were so small that we could not worship in the large auditorium at the school classroom we would worship in. And I think these experiences incense our church members. And I remember a sister amongst us in Jamaica, you'd call her Feisty. She didn't mince her words. She said, "We cannot allow these people to treat us like that. We are God's people. We should be the head and not the tail. We are going to get our own church." And Sister Graham, she has passed away. And she said, brother by the name of Brother Smith, who now lives in Mandeville, was the head elder of the time. And he said, "Brother Smith," she said, "Brother Smith, we have got to move on to this thing very, very swiftly." They started looking around for a building. But all the buildings they saw, the prices was beyond our price range, what we could afford. And Sister Graham said, "Look, this is not going to stop us. Let us ask the conference to see whether or not we could get a loan to purchase." And I, as a youngster listening to these people, full of confidence, I remember them saying, "Look," the response from the conference, I think a group of the elders went up and met with the conference officials. The conference response was that, "We cannot help you at this time." That triggered off Sister Graham. Sister Graham's exact words were, "Conference or no conference, we are getting our church. Brother Smith, go and find us a church." And we came across an infant school building. That school building looked as though it was built immediately after the flood, after Noah's came out of the ark. It was old, decrepit, and looking back, the toilets were outside. And I'm thinking to myself, this was an infant school. How could kids in the winter months have to come outside to use the toilets? Sister Graham said, "We are going for this church." This building, the building was owned by the London Borough of Brent. And they approached the London Borough of Brent to purchase this building. This building was listed for £25,000. Sister Graham said, "Irrespective of whether or not we have got this money, we are going for this church." "We haven't got the money," was the fact of the matter. And we went ahead, the elders met with the council, and the council was so pleased. They said to the elders, "The church is, the building is on the market for £25,000. We will give it to you for £20,000. Glory be to God. That is what we call faith, and God's working on our behalf. That church was opened in 1979. That church, when we started, we had to go over, and all the members chipped in and worked to bring that church to a habitable stage. I remember when it was being worked on, because amongst our members there were many carpenters and builders, so they were able to work without we having to incur any cost. When it reached a stage where Sister Graham again, she said, look, we're not spending any more time in that church hall and be treated by those people the way they've been treating us. Brother Smith said, but Sister Graham, we've got no heating facilities in the building as yet. Sister Graham said, look, even if we've got to put paraffin heaters in, we are moving in. Now, folks, for those of you who are not familiar with the term paraffin, it is equivalent to our kerosene. So could you imagine you heating a building with that kind of fuel and the fumes coming into your nostrils? It's not very pleasant. But that was just to show you the extent of Sister Graham's confidence and wanting to move proper heating facilities in 1979. And today, the Willesden Seventh-day Adventist Church, moving from someone's front room, has over 600 members. Glory be to God. The confidence, the faith by those early members. So many young people have benefited from the fact that a church was established in that vicinity. The church now boasts a day school nursery, and it has produced many, many youngsters who have gone on and done very well in life. Sometimes when I meet up with Brother Smith, he lives in Mandeville, and we reminisce about the early days back at Willesden Church. I am encouraged because of the faith of those people that stood firm. And by the way, you might ask, what happened to the conference? Once we made a move to acquire the church, the conference came in and assisted us to purchase the church. My brothers and sisters, I say to you this morning, sometimes many things in life passes us by because we have not got the faith to step forward. We just need to step forward and allow God to lead. Number two, I will share with you my experience in applying for a grant. A grant, this is some funding from your local authority to go and study. I think nowadays it's all student loans, but in my days we got a grant from the local authority to go and study. As I look back in preparing for this presentation, I thought how fortunate we were then compared to what youngsters have to go through today. One of the greatest experiences any person can have is that experience immediately after baptism. Immediately after baptism, you feel as though nothing is impossible. You could move all mountains. And that was my experience immediately after my baptism. I remember the pastor saying to me, Pastor Timothy was now passed away. He said to me, young man, now is the best time to give your life. Any plans that you have for your life, give it to the Lord. And you will see how he's going to work miracles in your life. Just have faith that he is going to work with you. And my brothers and sisters, that was the level of confidence I had. Anything was possible for me now. I've been baptized, and I'm going to place my entire life in God's hands. I, at a very early age, decided that I wanted to become an accountant, and I went searched to get information about what one needs to do to become an accountant. And I noticed that accounting as a subject was not taught at the school as I went to. So I know I went to a college. They were running evening classes in accounting. I was too young to be going to evening classes, but I said I wanted to go. To the extent that when I attended evening classes, I attended it free, because if you're under 18, you do not incur any costs for education back in the UK at that time. And I went to evening classes, and full of confidence, placing my trust in God immediately after baptism, Lord, you are going to lead me now. Went on, did the accounts coupled with the other subjects that I did at school, and then went on to do A-levels, and still full of zeal in my newness over the last 2 to 3 years, been baptized, decided that I was going to study for a degree. Now, studying for a degree, I needed funds. I applied to the local authority for funding, and the local authority wrote back to me informing me that I will not be able to get a full grant. My parents will need to supplement my grant. Now, my brothers and sisters, there is no way under this earth living with a single mother, my mother, could afford to supplement my grant to go to university. And I thought, Lord, I am leaving this into your hands. Full of zeal, only been baptized 2 or 3 years before. And I went up to the local authority's office and I said, I demand to see the director of education. I was told that you can only see the director of education if you've got an appointment. What do you want to see the director of education about? I need to speak to the director of education. My brothers and sisters, you'll be surprised what it's like when your back is up against the wall, what you can do, and when you place your trust in God. Said, I made a nuisance of myself. Looking back, I sat there and said, I'm not moving until I see the director of education. You know, as I reflected upon that, if it was today, they would just ask the security to escort me out. But in those days, there were no so much so security conscious. There were no security. I stood there, and persons came, they got attended to, and it was almost closing time. They said, you could see the deputy director of education. Said, thank you, Lord. I went in and I said, look, I have been given a grant whereby it has to be supplemented. I cannot afford to go to university on that. I said, well, basically, this is what you've been assessed for. And I don't know how these words came out of my mouth. But, you know, sometimes when God is leading you, things you never plan to say will come out. And my brothers and sisters, I said to this deputy director, look, let us look at the opportunity cost. By the way, I had just studied A-level economics. So in the June, let us look at the opportunity cost of not giving me a full grant. If I were not to get a full grant, it's very likely that I will be unable to contribute to society. I will be unable to reach my full potential. I will become a nuisance to society. I will be on the dole. The dole in UK is welfare. And I said, think of that. Now compare that with the cost of giving me a full grant. I could go and study. I could be a contributor to society. I will not be a burden to society. I did not give this lady one chance to speak. She sat there showing no emotions, as most English people are like. And she listened to me. And when I finished, I said, will I be getting a full grant? The lady looked at me and said, we will look into the matter. Now, this is the back end of August. September is coming up. And I said, Lord, I leave everything into your hands. Lord, you take over from here. Oh, brothers and sisters, the zeal that one has immediately after baptism, if only that can be continued throughout our Christian life, I tell you, we would be transformed earlier than some of us experience. Now it was time to go up to university in Liverpool. The church, a small church, gave myself and another young lady a sent off. She was going to Birmingham. I was going to Liverpool. I, at this time, not heard whether or not I'm going to get a full grant. But there's no way in which I was going to stay home and not make my way to university, not knowing that I was going to, whether or not I was going to get a full grant. Ladies and gentlemen, I went up to university. The following day, we had to go to a student services office to collect our checks. I don't know whether or not I've got a full grant. I stood in the queue, the line, saw persons going up to the student services office collecting. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, I am not ashamed to say to you that at that time, the faith and confidence that I had when I was talking to the deputy director of education, it is as though I was doubting now. Oh, Lord of mercy. Suppose I were to go up and I did not get a full grant. What would it be like me having to return back to my church and say, look, I am back here because I could not afford. And I stood there in the line. Persons going up, collecting their checks. And the doubt begins to come, and I'm praying, Lord, Lord, help me to hold firm. But there's a doubt, the niggling doubt in my mind, and I hear voices from the enemy, God saying, you don't sound too confident now, do you? You don't look too cute now, do you? All that big talk to the deputy director, what is it going to be? And I stood there in the line, and all of a sudden, all parts of my body and begin to twitch and move around my neck, nervous. And I'm saying, Lord, what is it going to be? When I look back now, I think if an observant police was watching that line, they would have pulled me out on suspicion and I'd become a person of interest. But I stood firm there. But there's little doubt in my mind. Am I going to be returning to London to tell my folks that I did not get sufficient funds to continue my education? And as I went up to the student services desk, I am peering over, looking at the forms that they had with person's name. And you had to say three things. Your name, the borough that you're from, and the course that you're pursuing. My brothers and sisters, I went up. Name, Paul Cole. Borough, London Borough of Brent. Course, economics and accounting. I flicked through the papers, came up, took up a check. The check was in no envelope. Because you've got to see the amount and sign for it. My brothers and sisters, glory be to God. When I picked up that check, it was full grant. I closed my eyes and said, thank you, Jesus. I did not hear the office attendant saying to me, sign here. She had to say it a second time. Could you imagine what it would have been if I had stayed home and said I had not heard whether or not I got a full grant? Where would I be today? Could you imagine if the folks at Willesden Church did not take it upon themselves to put the matter in the hands of God, whether or not there would be a church today with 600 members. Brothers and sisters, many times things pass us, opportunities pass us, because we do not put our confidence and trust in God. This morning, I put it to you, are you facing a number of mountains in your lives? Are you facing the mountain of death? Are you facing the mountain of grieving? Are you facing the mountain of sickness, hardship, family crisis? These are all mountains. But God said, if you've got the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Might not be literal mountains, but there are many mountains in our lives. Obstacles, problems to be solved, crosses to be carried, burden to be borne, trouble to be triumphant over, difficulties to be dealt with, hardships are mountains, family crises are mountains, unpaid bills are a mountain, rebellious children are a mountain. Yeah. I put it to you this morning, my brothers and sisters, let us put everything in God's hands. In the same way, we should be confident as Caleb was when he came back from viewing the land. Remember last week's lesson? He said, we will go forward and do what? Do what? Conquer the land. So let us affirm this morning. And irrespective of what mountains we've got in our lives, we can affirm that we will go forward and conquer all mountains. My brothers and sisters, this is my prayer to us this morning.